Thank you, worship team, for your ministry to us. And I know it's a prayer in my heart as you guys prepare that God might mightily use you. Just a couple of things before I begin. Some of you know George and Anna Bueller, and that we were by to visit him this past week, and we were told that his cancer is terminal. And so the announcement's in the bulletin. They're not sure of lifespan yet, and I know he mentioned that he was hoping he can go to Christmas, but that'll be before the Lord, and that his spirits are in good order. He knows whose he is. He knows where he is going, and I think there's an excitement that you can be praying for Anna as she has to walk this road with him. Those of you that got to witness the Waltheim Missions Conference this past week, we're blessed by listening to Charles Price, who powerfully spoke out of the book of Acts. And if you want, you can get their messages online. Just go to the Waltheim Missions Conferences. The messages are all there. And so they were able to raise, during that conference, over $60,000 towards different missions projects. And so what a blessing that was to take in a few of those this past week. I've titled my message, A Journey of Faith, as we come to the 11th chapter of the book of John. And it's kind of a long passage that we'll be reading this morning, but I think John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wanted us to know the story. Because there's a purpose in this story for us here this morning. Throughout the book of John, we have been looking in upon the miracles of Jesus as he has sought to display his glory. And his purpose is that God and our Lord might display his glory for us. Because if you look throughout the word of God, you will see that God's glory is awfully important to him. And we see on a few occasions there he shares with us that he will not share his glory with anyone. And he's very jealous for his glory. And here in this passage of chapter 11, we see again a display of his glory. He wanted his people to come to a correct opinion of who he is, that we might come to a proper understanding of who our God is. And that's one of his purposes in sharing this with us. Each of the miracles gave opportunity for the people to learn more about who this Jesus is, because his intent is that we might have a personal relationship with him. His desire in his heart is that we might get to know him for who he is. And so again here in this, we find more about who he is. Each of the miracles presented the people with a choice, and we have a choice this morning as well. Will I believe that Jesus is who he says he is? Or will I turn my back and will I walk away from who he says he is? Many of us have some understanding of who our God is. But here he's seeking to bring us to a correct understanding of who he is. And we need in our own lives to come to a solid foundational understanding of who he is. Because it's going to make a difference in how we walk the life that God has for us. The challenges that are going to come into our life are going to make a difference if we have a foundational truth, a foundational pillar that we have established, and that I know who my God is because he's told me who he is. And I can rest in that fact, because each of us will face trials in our lives. Or we hear of others who are facing trials. And it's awfully important to come to a solid foundational understanding of who our God is. Each of these opportunities are also an opportunity for us to grow in faith. And because faith is not a stationary entity, but it is a progressive entity. It is something that can be nourished and it can grow. If faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, as we understand from Romans chapter 10, it follows that the more we are in the word and the word in us, the more our faith will grow as well. And our faith should be continuing to grow. Faith must be exercised in the face of each new revelation. And each new revelation is taking the disciples nearer to that ultimate revelation in the most extreme scandalous event, the cross. The ultimate revelation of God's light and life and love, and thus the ultimate manifestation of God that faith must grasp hold of. And so as the Lord Jesus Christ was taking his disciples along this road, they were growing in faith through this journey as well. as we get opportunity to journey with them. And they were coming to that time when all of a sudden the cross would be their experience. And their faith needed to be strong. And we all know what took place when Jesus was taken captive. They all seemed to move in different directions. Their faith was something that was in motion and needing to continue to grow. See, it's not enough to have a vague general faith in Christ. The faith that is content to knowing that I'm a child of God and on my way to heaven. We need to have something more. Our faith needs to be something more than just that. Trials and tribulations will come that will rock and test the metal of our faith. Many of you have gone through different trials, and if not, you will sometime in life face different trials in life. How will our faith stand in the midst of that trial when it comes? Will our faith be able to stand through that? John is the only gospel writer who presents the story of the death of Lazarus and the story of Martha and Mary's faith journey. So let's read it here this morning together, here in John chapter 11, reading down to verse 44. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was the Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the sisters sent word to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. But when Jesus heard this, he said, the sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you are going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. This he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go so that I may awaken him out of sleep. The disciples then said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he was speaking of literal sleep. So Jesus then said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him. Therefore, Thomas, who is called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, so that we may die with him. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him. But Mary stayed at the house. Martha then said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. When she had said this, she went away and called Mary, her sister, saying secretly, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she got up quickly and was coming to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and consoling her, when they saw that Mary got up quickly and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled and said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews were saying, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man also from dying? So Jesus, again being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, remove the stone. Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But because of the people standing around, I said it so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. The man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. A long story for us, but much that we can glean from this passage. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were siblings who lived in the town of Bethany, which was only 2 miles east of Jerusalem. And we know that between Jerusalem and Bethany was only a Sabbath day journey. And so often when Jesus was in the area, he would go to Bethany and he would stay there. We're not sure if they specifically stayed in Mary Martha's house, but imagine they had much in the relationship that had been established already. They sent a message to Jesus that the one that he loves is sick. With the message comes a confident expectation that they will soon witness his arrival. They had grown in their relationship with him. And I'm sure they understood if they gave him the message that his friend, that the one he loved was sick, that he would soon be arriving at their location. They sent a messenger with the message, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. They did not dictate any expectations to Jesus of what he should do. They did not claim Lazarus' healing by faith or command Jesus by a word of faith to do as they said, as some would have us to hold to, that we can dictate to God. And there is no evidence of that in this here in front of us. They simply sent the messenger with a short message. Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Since Jesus was physically present on the earth with them, then they could send a messenger to them. And they could send their prayer through that means. The content of the message expressed adoration for who they knew him to be. He said, they titled it Lord. And so they began their message with that title. Martha in verse 27 affirms that I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. And so they affirm the relationship that they had. Her address is in the perfect tense, indicating that she came to belief in the past with a fixed, settled faith in the present. She was somebody who was seeking to walk in the knowledge that she had with her heavenly, with the Lord, and that she understood who he was. They share the special bond of love that Jesus had for Lazarus. This love is a love based in the emotions, chiefly of the heart, a love which is the response of the human spirit to what appeals to it as pleasurable. And so they seek to express to us that the relationship that they had, Lazarus, with the Lord is one based on love, phileo love that they had one with another. Before they share the concern of their heart, they share the connection that they had with each other. There are principles in this message that we can take to heart in how we address our conversations with our Heavenly Father as well. As we seek to witness this interaction that they had, yes, they sent it through a messenger, and we send our messages direct into his presence. But there's some principles here that we can act upon as well. Do we spend time in our prayer for adoration? Do we spend time in our prayer for acknowledging God for who he is? Acknowledging the relationship that we have with one another? Or is our prayers so shortened that we don't have time for things like that? But here, even in a question or a prayer, they make time for that. And then to also acknowledge the relationship that they had. And then finally, to mention their concern that's upon their heart. Jesus was on the other side of the Jordan in the region of Perea, about 20 miles distance. It would have been a good day's journey for the message to reach him. And then if he came immediately, a full day's journey coming back. I'm sure that they had in their mind, that with some expectations, when he would potentially arrive. I'm sure that they had already thought out this timeline. And they were eagerly awaiting his 2 days, and he should be showing up. Their faith was tested as the time of his arrival went past, came and it went. They had one eye on the road and one eye on their declining health of their brother. And I'm sure that they were eagerly awaiting the Lord's arrival, that he would arrive before their brother would pass away. Disappointment set in when their brother passed away, and their hope of healing was met with disappointment. The questions would have begun. As they are human, and as each of us are human as well, I'm sure the questions would arise in our own minds and our own hearts, as I'm sure it did for them as well. The questions would have begun, where is he? Maybe he doesn't care as much as we thought he did. Maybe that love was kind of a stretch when we use that word. What is the use of my faith if when I ask, I hear only silence? And maybe in your difficulties that you've come with some of those same questions in your own life and relationship. Disappointment has set in. And maybe these questions are some that you have had and are still asking. Or maybe there are other questions that are testing your faith. And I believe God here wants to come to us with at least an answer of why he delayed. And here in this situation, we do know why he delayed. Because he wanted to display his glory and give glory to the Father as well. We will not always know the specific answers to our questions until we stand in his presence. But there is a general purpose answer that John wants to share with us. And I believe that we can understand as we go through trials and difficulties as well. That the glory of God might be displayed. Do we ever stop and think about that in whatever tragedy that we're walking through? How can God receive the glory in and through this? And Jesus' response is, the sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. Jesus' purpose in delaying is so that Mary and Martha would have opportunity to witness the glory of God, and that Jesus, the Son of God, would be glorified in and through this as well. And that in this incident, in this tragedy, the glory of God would be in evidence. We have learned that Jesus did not have to be physically present to heal, but in his love for them, wanted them to be witnesses to his glory, but to a greater degree, wanted his Father to be glorified through this situation. Love always seeks the highest good for the one loved, and the highest good for anyone is that he or she gets a greater vision of God's glory and thus grows in him. God displays his love for us, and love always seeks the highest good for the one loved. Do we understand that? Do we believe it? That God loves us even in the midst of our situations that we are walking in. And his greatest display of love is that we might get a greater vision of who our God is. And that we might grow in faith. The delay did serve several purposes. It strengthened the sisters' faith in the Lord by forcing them to trust him. It made it clear that Lazarus was truly dead. And thus, the miracle and the truth of the miracle that would come later. At times, it's very difficult for us to reconcile God's perfect love with his perfect timing. The return to Judah was loaded with danger, as his visit a short time previous was going to result in stoning, the threat of stoning and being seized. Jesus knew that until God's perfect timing for the crucifixion, he was to be about the work that his Father had given him to do. And thus he talks about, are there not 12 hours in the day? The 12 hours in the day symbolizes the duration of the Lord's earthly ministry as allotted by the Father. Jesus knew the timeline of his ministry. He knew that no one could touch him until the allotted time that God had purposed for the crucifixion to take place. Even in his arrival, we see there mentioned there, in the fullness of time, a specific time that God had already set in motion in eternity past, a time for his coming. And God had already set in motion in eternity past, a time for his crucifixion as well. So no one could lengthen or shorten the day. So the disciples' concern could not extend the time allotted to Jesus, nor could the Jews' hostility shorten it in any way. And so Jesus made the decision to go back to Judah. Jesus refers to Lazarus as our friend in verse 11. The only other person referred to as such was Abraham, and only hundreds of years after his death. Jesus compares death for the believer as fallen asleep. The purpose of the metaphor is to suggest that as a sleeper does not cease to exist while his body sleeps, so the dead person continues to exist despite his absence from the region in which those who remain can communicate with him. And that as sleep is known to be temporary, so the death of the body will be found to be as well. Sleep has its waking. Death will have its resurrection as well. Thus he makes the metaphor, comparison to that of being asleep. Jesus is glad in verse 15 for the disciples' sake, so that they may believe. As the disciples walked with Jesus through these miracles, they were also growing in faith as well. They were growing in belief. And thus he wants to share with them that, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there. Why? So that you may believe, but let us go to him. And so Jesus was seeking to take his disciples along this road in faith as well, because there's coming a day when he would leave and they had to be able to stand. And thus he was seeking to teach them as well. Jesus arrives outside the town, and Martha is the first of the sisters to arrive to greet him. And Mary was the sister of action. The sisters may not have gone together because of the mourners who had come to console Martha and Mary. Some of you have witnessed what it looks like to have mourners at a funeral. As I got to experience one time, it just about set me apart when all of a sudden I was taking our lady that helped us in the house back to her house so that she could mourn. And as soon as she saw the body, then the full on volume in that van just about lifted the roof off that vehicle. It is something to behold if you can ever witness a service with mourners involved. And I'm sure that these mourners were very noisy at that time as well. Bethany was only a short distance from Jerusalem, and Jesus' arrival back in the area would quickly come to the attention of the Jewish leaders. Martha's response to Jesus on his arrival demonstrates the strength of her faith and that she is not shaken by what seems like the indifference or disregard on Jesus' part for his delay. Martha is correct with her statement that if you had been here, my brother would not have died. This was the extent of Martha's faith that she had come to in her life thus far. And she demonstrates that faith as she comes into the Lord's presence. What would have been your first question of the Lord if all of a sudden you were in this situation? I don't think this is what I would have said. I might have said something far worse. Like, goodness, couldn't you have traveled a little further? Like, goodness, put a little gas in the engine or whatever and get here. Like, maybe my faith isn't as strong as Martha's, but I'm sure my response might have been a little bit more harsher than hers. She understands that God is sovereign over life and death and even over this tragedy that they are walking in. Andrew Murray has made this statement, and let me share this with you. Beware in your prayer above everything of limiting God, not only by unbelief, but by fancying that you know what he can do. Expect unexpected things above all that we ask or think. Each time you intercede, be quiet first and worship God in his glory. Think of what he can do, of how he delights to hear Christ, of your place in Christ, and expect great things. As we pray, are we expecting God to move in a mighty way? Where is our faith? Where can our faith take us when we need to pray those deep prayers in our own lives? She knew beyond the shadow of doubt that whatever you ask of God, God will give you, as she shares there in verse 22. The Greek word she uses for ask is a term meaning the asking of an inferior to a superior. It can also have the idea of urgency to the point of demanding. And so the faith that she had is that she did not have a proper understanding of the relationship of the Trinity. And so she indicates that with the wording that she uses. We know that when Jesus asks the Father, he uses a term that expresses equality as equals. Martha needed to grow in her understanding of who the Messiah is. And thus the Savior, in his love for her, wants to take her down that road. And God's love for each one of us wants to take us down that road as well, that we might grow in our faith and our knowledge of who he is as well. Martha was in need of seeing the glory of God that she might grow in her faith of who her Christ is. Jesus makes a prophetic promise in that your brother will rise again. Martha did not understand it as a prophecy that would be filled in the immediate future and not on the last day, but on the last day. Like Martha, many modern Christians have a deep and abiding faith in Jesus. They are sure he has one eternal life for them and believe in a resurrection which they will share. But like Martha, many modern Christians limit the power of Jesus to the future. They fail to realize that Jesus brings life to the dead now and can bring life to the dead now. The steps of faith fall on the seeming void and find rock beneath, as John Whittier shared. Jesus did not deny what Martha shared about the resurrection for the last day, but Jesus builds on her faith with the revelation of his, I am the resurrection and the life. This is the fifth I am statement that we see here in the book of John. Jesus did not say, I am he that will resurrect your brother, but stated that he himself is the essence of the resurrection and the life, a claim he would soon validate by raising Lazarus. What he is saying is that resurrection and life are intrinsic to who I am. They're bound up in my presence, in who I am. That is where resurrection and life is. Is this not that he acts on and resurrects individuals, as true as that is? But then he acts out of his own nature of who he is. And so he wants us to understand and come to a knowledge of who he is, and that he is the resurrection and the life. Resurrection and life are part and parcel of his being. You are in covenant with him, and you possess resurrection and life because he is the one who indwells you. You have the insurance of eternal life because that the life here that he's talking about is in us, because he is in us. And we can rest in that fact and the truth of that fact. We can rest in the fact of that of the resurrection as well, because of his indwelling presence with us. Apart from him, there is no resurrection from the dead and no eternal life. Jesus gives us life only by giving his life. John 1 verse 4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. It's in the imperfect tense, meaning continual or repeated action. In him is life. Martha stated the resurrection as a doctrine, a current tenet. Jesus states it as a fact identified with his own person. All true life is in Christ. In him is lodged everything that is essential for life, its origin, its maintenance, its consummation. And all this is conveyed to the believer in his union with him, because we have the life, because we have the indwelling presence of God with us. Colossians 3 verse 4 says, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. When Christ, who is our life. Do we understand that? Do we come to a conviction that I have life because I have it in Christ? I have his indwelling presence within me, and he is the life, and he is the resurrection. This life is available to his children now as well as in eternity future. Martha thought victory over death was a future expectation. Jesus corrects her, showing that victory is a present reality. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. The use of the double negative strongly affirms that death ceases to be death as the world thinks about it. Yes, we transition from this life into his very presence. But it's like Jesus here is presenting to us, we never die. It's not like death as the world knows for us. We move from one world to the next world. There is no lag, there is no gap, there is no purgatory. He asks Martha a question in each of us as well. Do you believe this? What a question. What a direct question that Jesus would give to her. Martha, do you believe this? And his question is to us as well. Dan, do you believe this? Why ask a question like that of Martha and of me? It was important that Martha in her faith journey come to a solid, settled belief that Jesus is the resurrection and he is the life. And we have life because of him. Everyone who believes in him will live even if he dies. That's a true statement issued from the mouth of our Lord himself. We have life because he is the holder of life, and we have his life. Your assurance and security in the midst of trials will help you to stand, because we have taken these truths and settled them in our lives. We will not be tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, because we have settled the truth of where my life belongs and how I have it. Jesus has another question for Martha and Mary. Did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Because they believed, they were able to witness Jesus calling forth Lazarus from the grave. And so here he wants to leave with them. Did I not say, if you believe, you will see the glory of God? They bore witness to the truth, I am the resurrection and the life. Their faith grew and was stretched through this miracle. God's desire for each of us is that we would journey down the road of faith. We may be able to recall the day when our faith journey began. And maybe you can look back and you can recall that time when we believed the truth that God is who he says he is. And we came to faith and repentance and took on his resurrection and his life. We look back upon that day when my faith journey began. This is where we all begin the journey of faith, but is not where God would have us remain. His promise to us is that he who began a good work in you will continue it until the day of Christ Jesus. If we are content to remain at the door of faith, we are hindering the work that God desires to do in our lives. God's desire for each of us, that he might take us down that road of faith, that he might grow our faith, that we might grow in our understanding of who he is. And as he sought to do that with the disciples, he wants to do that for us as well. We can put our present situations into his plan for us, that the glory of God would be displayed, but also the Son of God would be glorified by it. As we walk through difficulties, God, would you display your glory in the midst of this that I'm walking in? Yes, it hurts. I don't deny the fact. It hurts because of the relationships that we have. But oh, that our heart's cry would be, God, I want to see your glory. Remember Moses on top of the mount there. He had a question. You had a request of the Lord. He said, God, I want to see your glory. And the Lord honored that request and displayed his glory to the mount that Moses could take it. It made a difference in Moses' life. If we were to witness the glory of God because we stood in a place of belief, then I believe God wants to display his glory for us as well, whatever we are walking through. Martha and Mary and their heartaches, as we go through our heartaches, we can identify with them. We can also identify with them in their faith journey as we walk down the road of increasing faith as well. The question we need to ask ourselves, are we prepared as Mary and Martha and the others? If you believe, you will see the glory of God. Have you seen God's glory displayed in your life as you walk through the road that God has for you? Because I believe that God wants to display his glory to us. I believe it's something that we can request of him. Whatever that difficulty, with God, would you open my eyes that I might see you in this, whatever it may be. God, give us eyes to see your glory. And may that be the prayer upon our hearts as God has whatever situation that you're walking through. It's not easy, but yet I believe that in the midst of it, we can see the glory of God if we say, we actually open our eyes, God, to your glory in the midst of this. Let's just close our time in a word of prayer. Dear Father, thank you for this time this morning. Heavenly Father, walking this life isn't easy, as we saw that in Mary and Martha's life. Each of us are going through different difficulties, some health-related, some financial-related, and many other relational difficulties. But Heavenly Father, may you open our eyes to your glory in the midst of this, and that you might receive the glory in the midst of that, whatever we are walking in. And that Heavenly Father, that you might lead us down the road to increasing faith and trust in you in the midst of them. For praying it in your name. Amen. God bless.